We're back on the special Easter edition of Dateline Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. We now continue our look at the history and traditions of Easter as we examine the bunny, the dogwood, Passover, and more. Here again, Sarah Bonbronic.
The most popular secular symbol of Easter is the rabbit, but he really should be called a March hare. No, we're not splitting a hare here. There's really little difference, but there are distinctions between the two animals, and the official record should be set straight by someone. Item number one. Easter is a lunar festival. Since antiquity, the hare, not the rabbit, has been the animal's symbol for the moon. This is because hares are born with their eyes open, where rabbits are born blind. The Egyptians believed that the full moon gazed upon the earth and man wide open throughout the night. Also, the hare, according to legend, is thought to never blink its eyes. More evidence. The hare, like the moon, is nocturnal. Its gestation period is 1 month, which equals a full cycle of the moon. So why is the Easter bunny better known than the Easter hare? It's probably just semantics and the use of language, for in Germany, where the Teutonic legend originated, the gift-bearer is still the March hare, who delivers painted eggs at Easter time. And here's why. According to centuries-old tradition, Auster's favorite animal was a large, handsome bird, which in a fit of anger, she turned into a hare. This is why each spring at Easter time, a beautiful hare, or bunny, continues to build a nest to fill with colored eggs. One of the most intriguing and poignant Easter legends surrounds the dogwood tree. At the time of the crucifixion, as legend goes, the dogwood towered as tall as an oak and other forest trees. Its wood was so strong and firm that it was chosen as the timber for Christ's cross. To be used as the agent of death of its creator's only son greatly distressed the tree. Jesus, nailed upon it, understood the tree's grief and made a promise to the tree.
Because of your regret and pity for my suffering, I promise that never again shall the dogwood tree grow large enough to be used for a cross. Henceforth it shall be slender and bent and twisted, and its blossoms shall be in the form of a cross, and in the center of the outer edge of each petal there will be nail prints. In the center of the flower, brown with rust and stained with blood, will be a crown of thorns. So that all who see it will remember it was upon a dogwood tree that I was crucified. And this tree shall not be mutilated or destroyed ever again, but be cherished and protected as a reminder of my agony and death upon the cross.
For more than three centuries, the Eastern and Western Christian churches squabbled over exactly when Easter was to be observed, or more precisely, what the pre-Easter observances were to be. For the Western churches, there was concern that there would not be enough time in the liturgical calendar to observe Lent, a 40-day period of spiritual preparation or purification before Easter. Another controversy centered on whether Easter should be celebrated on a weekday to coincide with the Jewish observance of Passover, which might fall on a weekday, or whether Easter should always be on a Sunday, regardless of the date. This was finally determined by Constantine the Great at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, who decreed that Easter would become a movable feast, scheduled to fall on the first Sunday after the first full moon of the vernal equinox of March 21st. If the full moon rises on a Sunday, Easter Day falls on the following Sunday, but Easter never occurs before March 22nd or after April 25th. The Eastern Christians, on the other hand, held that a true observance of Easter could only follow the Jewish Passover each year because Christ celebrated Passover, the Last Supper, with his disciples the night before his crucifixion. Therefore, people of the Eastern and Russian Orthodox faiths still observe Easter later than the West, in order that it might come after Passover. Passover is also an ancient spring festival, which welcomes the rebirth of nature from its winter sleep. But Passover has another meaning. It is the Jewish festival of freedom. Hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, the Jewish tribe of Israel lived in Egypt as slaves.
I am Rabbi Mark Diamond, spiritual leader of Temple Israel Congregation, Silver Spring, Maryland. The story of Passover begins with the enslavement of the Israelites in Egypt. For 400 years, our ancestors served the Egyptian pharaohs. Finally, Moses was sent to lead his people from slavery to freedom. Each spring, Jews throughout the world recall the Exodus by observing Passover. Family and friends gather together for the Seder, a gala celebration observed in the Jewish home. Celebrants read a special book known as the Haggadah. In prayer and song, poem and prose, the Haggadah recounts the tale of the Israelites' deliverance from Egyptian bondage. The Seder ritual features matzah, the unleavened bread, reminiscent of the flat loaves baked during our ancestors' hasty departure from Egypt, because they had no time to let the bread rise. Other symbols at the Seder include a roasted shank bone, which commemorates the special Passover offering brought in the ancient temple in Jerusalem, a green leafy vegetable, symbol of the rebirth of nature in the springtime, a mixture of chopped nuts, apples, wine, and spices. This commemorates the mortar of the pyramids built by the Israelite slaves. A roasted egg, which recalls the festival offering in the ancient temple. Bitter herbs, symbol of the bitterness of slavery in Egypt. These and other rituals combine to make Passover one of the most beloved of all Jewish holidays. The message of the Haggadah is as poignant today as it was thousands of years ago. In each generation, every individual should feel as though he personally had been redeemed from bondage.
Stay tuned. We'll have more on the history and traditions of Easter right after this break.